Tonight on Big Head Mode, we are talking gaming etiquette. When have you been in a situation where you're playing games with some mates and something happens, you've done something embarrassing and you don't know how to deal with it? I've got two etiquette experts with me tonight. I've got Hayden and Tom. Guys, I'm sure you've been in similar situations when it comes to gaming etiquette, right?
Absolutely. My only expert qualification is that I've done a lot of embarrassing things.
That's what we're going to be talking about. We're also going to be talking a bit of Battlefront, and I'm going to be reviewing the Uncharted collection. That's right, an entire collection of Uncharted. That's all coming up on Big Head Mode. That's right, you are on Big Head Mode, 2RRR's only gaming show. Believe it or not, it is the only gaming show on the entire station. I'm your host, Ben O'Brien, joined in the studio by Tom McClurkin, a regular and a newcomer to the show, Hayden Wright,
Haydo,
and, if you don't mind me saying Haydo, my Dungeon Master.
That's correct.
I've talked about my Dungeons & Dragons conversion on this show before.
It's a good thing that you asked him live on air that he doesn't mind.
Would be all going to be shaking his head furiously.
No, don't throw me under that bus.
Also, without knowing what I was going to say anyway. Yeah. But you know what? That's a good situation of gamer etiquette. Don't throw people under the bus live on radio. But look, first thing I want to get to, Haydo, is just before we went to air, you started to tell us a story. You said, hey, you guys want to hear a terrible gaming story, and I made you stop so you could tell us on air.
You did.
I don't know where this is going. All I know is it's terrible.
I had three Pokemon games growing up. I had Pokemon Blue, Pokemon Silver, and Pokemon Crystal. And I was hugely into Pokemon, had all the Pokemon cards, very much like, oh, this is my world at the moment. I went to a birthday party, had played all the way through Blue, played all the way through Silver, had not yet started Pokemon Crystal. Someone else had a shiny Charizard, a shiny Blastoise, I think, and a few other cards that I wanted. And in order for me to get those cards, I traded my copy unopened of Pokemon Crystal for the cards. Yeah. I went home with the cards and not my Game Boy game. And then we went on I grew up in North Queensland. We went on a 4-hour road trip to the next town and I was playing my old game and my mum turned around and said, "Oh, Haydo, where's your new one?" And I told her I lost it. And I didn't lose it.
Have you ever told her the truth?
No, never. it breaks my heart. It's my only gaming regret to this point.
That's brutal. But I'm also really impressed that your mum noticed there was a difference between any games you were playing. Like, my parents just, it's always just like, you know, Donkey Kong.
You're playing a video game.
Oh, you're playing your little Donkey Kong. Whatever. It's just like one game. That's all it is. Yeah. I feel like parents, you know how like they say that there's a certain high pitch frequency that you can only hear if you're young? Like old people can't. I feel like old, like my parents, the way they see games, all they see is Pong.
Just Pong.
Like whatever. It could be 60 frames, amazing graphics, and they just see this little boop.
Yeah.
Boop.
Oh, there's aliens in this Pong.
Hey, why isn't Nolan North in this Pong game?
Yeah. Is that Peter Dinklage? Not anymore.
No, we don't talk about Peter Dinklage anymore. Hey, you know what Peter Dinklage isn't in? Star Wars Battlefront. The segue. Nailed it. The beta just came out a couple of days ago, and I mean, Tom, you talked about playing it at EB Expo last weekend.
Well,
I didn't get to, and I feel like I'm caught up to you.
Well, I was the king of last week because I was the only one who had actually played it.
The king of last week.
I felt like the king of last week.
That is true. I mean, anyone from outside of Australia listening to this podcast, you might not be familiar, but in Australia we have a rule where every week we appoint a new king of the country. And Tom, you were the king of last week.
I was the king of Australia and gaming.
But now I've probably played a lot more of it than you.
Yes. So now I've been demoted. You're the new king.
I'm the king of this week.
Long live the king.
It's not going to be long, Tom. No. It's going to be a week. You know the rules. but no, that is a great game. It took me a little while to really warm up to it. So we got sort of early codes to it, right? So the only people playing were kind of like games journalists and YouTubers and stuff like that. Mm. So on one hand, it was really weird just recognizing all the gamer tags. Like, the first team I was in, I was partnered with Champ Chong, you know, YouTuber Champ Chong, and I was just like, why do I know that name? And I was like, wow, this is really weird. But the world felt really empty, and I didn't realize until it went public that that's just because it was half populated. Like, the big assault mode, the one on Hoth where you have all the walkers and everything, walker assault.
In the trailers, yeah.
Yeah, 40 players. And when you have like a full game, it's crazy. You have like TIE fighters just like swooping in over you and just stuff blowing up around you. And like, you actually have to use the trenches to just avoid getting gunned down.
Not bad.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Actually having to use trenches. Damn.
Yeah, that's right. It's not some sort of shield.
Do you get trench foot or...
I don't, if you live long enough, maybe. that's the penalty. If you're there for a period of months after the standard 25-minute length of a game, then...
That's what they don't tell you. You've got to go back to the Hoth base and live there. You just jump in for the game.
Wouldn't that be amazing if, like, every time a game ended, all the dead bodies from the last match stayed there? So you log in, you're kind of like all the fallen comrades from previous games. Just, so the trenches are just like...
Until you piled topped up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another like game. Is, yeah.
Or you have half time in the middle of every match to sort of everyone can go out and bury the bury the dead. Although it's Hoth, so you just get a little snow shovel and it's got dark.
Yeah, yeah. Similarly too.
But hey, the game's great. one of my fears early on was that it was just gonna be Battlefield in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then for the first time I played it, I was worried that it wasn't Battlefield enough. Because it is super arcadey. Like, I mean, Battlefield has that really realistic, like, oh, you're in the middle of this battle. And this is super, like, you have power-ups and, you know, you're kind of collecting them from the map and spawning straight into vehicles and all that sort of stuff.
And your laser weapons kind of feel, like, plasticky.
Yeah, I mean, laser weapons always, even though lasers are cool, and you'll never hear me say otherwise.
That's just one of the rules of big head mode. Like, yeah, lasers are cool.
Lasers are cool. Yeah. That's in our charter.
Yeah.
second down, lasers are cool.
Yeah. After, what's the first thing again?
Always few games, few laughs, always gaming. That is point one.
Perfect.
There you go. You thought you'd catch me out there, Tom. Luckily, there's only one real point that we had, and that was it.
So point number three.
It's a work in progress, Joel. Okay. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, like lasers always feel kind of tinny and sort of, especially guns that have that whole overheat mechanic you kind of have to. So, like, the way they work in Battlefront is it's like your standard, you know, the longer you hold it down, you can overheat them. But then if you do overheat them, it's like an active reload in Gears of War. So you have this little kind of quick timey thing, and if you press X in the sweet spot, you can just do an instant reload.
Okay.
And it's kind of, I mean, I was playing with Carlo, and he sort of insists on just steady, controlled fire so you don't overheat it. So
tactics,
you can kind of keep it. Yeah, yeah. Whereas I love the risk of just being like, and then X, and then you feel like a badass when you pull it off.
Absolutely.
In fact, the first time I did it, I went, yes, nailed it. Stop shooting because I was so happy. And then, pew, pew. Gotcha. I'm
nice.
Dead.
What is the lifespan of a character? Is the rounds like quite long? Do you find that you get most of the way through the trench before someone takes you out?
That's the other thing, like, because I started playing, I was on my own.
Yeah.
And like a large part, I think, of the longevity of your sort of match or your character's life is based on your partner. Because if you're playing with a partner, it's like Battlefield, you can spawn in on them. But the respawns are pretty quick. So if your partner, like that, if they are still up 5 seconds after you die, you can come back straight on them.
Oh, right.
And so if you get into a good rhythm of just kind of going, I'm down, and then they know instinctively to
take cover.
Yeah, so you kind of, like, even though you might be dying semi-frequently, you can kind of, like, cover each other.
Semi-frequently.
That's right. Spawn in, die.
I find that, like, depending on where you are, like, there's a... one of my favorite parts is the sort of midsection of the map, you fall back on the rebel base.
Oh, right.
And which is beautifully designed and looks so authentically like the base from the film. But that has like heaps of long, narrow corridors, and that can just be a total death trap.
Yeah.
But there's heaps of alcoves to kind of hide, so you and your buddy, you kind of piggyback each other in, and then the guy who's in front gets shot, so your buddy at the back knows to quickly duck into an alcove and then respawn, and then you both jump out going, pew, 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 and try to, like, clear the corridor. You sort of work your way down like
that. Yeah, that's interesting, because I remember Battlefield being quite like specifically team-based and a lot, like that whole game is to sort of develop so that you kind of have to take an objective as a team.
Mm.
Whereas this one, like I've only yet seen the trailers and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
I enjoyed that. And the idea of, like, I used to play back when it was on PlayStation 2, and the idea of the hero coming in and all of a sudden you having Jedi powers for a short time was like you a lone wolf, but it was still okay to be part of the team.
That is done really well, I think.
Awesome.
Because
yeah.
it is basically like a power weapon. So it shows up as an icon on the map. So if you're walking past it and you happen to see it, you pick it up and then you just get 100 seconds as Luke or Darth.
Awesome.
And you can still get taken down pretty easily if you're sort of not, if you're out in the open too much. But it kind of just, and it isn't super effective for objectives. Because, I mean, the whole thing of Walker Assault, right, is if you're, it's really hard to win as the Rebels.
Yeah.
Because the Rebels, you've got to take down these Walkers. And they're invulnerable until you take their shields down. To get their shields down, you have to, like, defend these uplinks, which lets you call in Y-bombers. And Y-bombers, once they bomb the Walkers are vulnerable and you can put damage on them. And you, so you have to do that whole cycle. And it just takes, like, a huge amount of teamwork.
Just manpower.
Yeah. But because it's so new, like, I mean, like, Carlo and I were constantly getting frustrated at the number of people who either weren't shooting the Walkers when the shields were down.
Yep.
Or who were shooting them constantly when the shields were up.
Oh, right.
And it's just kind of, I think it's just going to be that learning curve of the people who transition from a, you know, a kill-death ratio-based.
Oh, right, of just get it done.
Yeah, of just kill everyone to sort of slowly adjusting to the objective. And I guess that's going to be the test, if people can adjust.
Yeah, is it signposted pretty well? Like, does it feel
like
it's... Like,
you have characters kind of going, take down the walk, the shield
right,
down.
Yeah, so it's like the kind of, like, the flashing red light of, like, hit here, like that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, and cool. And your objective's changed. It'll be like, you know, attack the walkers or defend or whatever. I think it's just people getting used to it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
But yeah, the hero thing is great. Even getting killed by a hero, there's something amazing about, like, you know, you're there in the trenches, you're defending with your friends, and then you look to the left, and you just see...
Just flashes of red.
Yeah, flashes of red, and a couple of your teammates go flying, and you go, oh god, no! You're like firing everything at Darth Vader, and just does nothing, and then all of a sudden, you're just dangling in the air being choked to death. It's great.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's all I've ever wanted
to do. Yeah, it's a real dream, you guys.
It's all any of us have wanted. Yeah. Look, why don't we go to some music, and then we'll come back and talk a bit of news. This is, Tom, a favourite of yours and mine, Badlands from Uncharted 3 by Greg Edmondson.
We'll be back
after this. Good old Greggy. Welcome back. That was Badlands.
So nice to be back here, isn't it?
It really is. People don't know, we actually leave the studio.
Yeah.
That's why I say welcome back. I'm talking to you guys.
Hey. Thanks, Ben.
Hey, no, don't worry. Thanks for being here.
All go into separate rooms, by the way.
Yeah. We demand it. We demand our own time. I have to talk to you on air. It's bad enough. Speaking of bad, let's talk Call of Duty. Snap.
Segways tonight.
Right now, someone from Activision is not crying because they didn't hear that. There's something weird happening, apparently, with the Xbox One version of Call of Duty. I read this on Kotaku. So up until a few days ago...
Weird? What could it be?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom. That was a redundant question. Because clearly, you can see I'm reading the article in front of me. You knew I was going to explain more.
Yeah, but I want to...
Really, you've slowed down the whole process.
I'm so excited. Please, tell me.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you.
You've torn down the rich fiction of the show.
You've ripped the curtain right off. The wizard's exposed. He's an old man. God.
Just never going to hear.
A few days ago, all right, you could pre-order Call of Duty Black Ops 3 for Xbox One on Xbox Live and Amazon, right?
Yeah, right.
And then inexplicably, it was just taken down. You can't do it anymore. So, and this is journalist Patrick Klepek on Kotaku who has investigated this. So he's asked around, he's sent emails to Activision, Microsoft to find out. And he's like, you know, hey, just wondering why it's down on Xbox, because it is still up on PlayStation. Like, you can access and pre-order early on PlayStation. Microsoft's, and like they've used weird language. Microsoft said, we are actively engaged with Activision to return Call of Duty Black Ops to the Xbox store as soon as possible. In the meantime, fans can pre-order Black Ops 3 for Xbox One or 360 from any other retail partners. So it's sort of like, you know, they're actively engaged to try and have it returned. So it implies that there's some kind of issue. There's something that had to get it taken down. The statement that Activision said was even more vague. Yes, Call of Duty Black Ops 3 pre-order offers have been temporarily removed from Xbox. However, we are engaged to return it as soon as possible. And then Activision said, Activision did not remove the digital version from the Xbox Game Store. And then they went on to, you know, talk about Black Ops is a great game. It's going to blah, 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 blah. So they're kind of saying we didn't remove it. Like,
yeah.
That sounds like a technical issue.
Mm.
Yeah.
You think there's some conspiracy at foot?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, they, the weird comment is that Microsoft then said in a follow-up, So this reporter took that statement from Activision back to Microsoft to get more clarification. They say,
journalism.
We do not comment on the specific terms of our arrangements with any of our publishing partners.
Ooh.
However, again, we're actively engaged with Activision to return Call of Duty. So it's sort of like, it's weird. I don't know if it's something to do with, because remember that Call of Duty now has this sort of exclusivity deal with Sony on certain content, like DLC and stuff.
Yeah.
So it just makes me wonder if this is some kind of... It's just weird that it's only...
It is very strange.
I think Microsoft might be screwing around.
Or maybe the version that they put up there offered some sort of DLC that they're not meant to be offering early or something. I don't know.
You guys, Snowden did join Twitter this week, so maybe
From...
It's like, hey guys, just so you know, I'm the Call of Duty guy.
What, you think Edward Snowden would have a problem with Xbox, the console that's always watching?
Yeah, that's right. It's strange. Like, I can imagine, like, I have played all of the Call of Duties on my Xbox, so it's very strange that it would be taken away.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But it's just like, no... Just
maybe
like,
maybe it's just like some kind of pirates who are sick of pre-orders.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, screw that. We're going to take it down.
That's what makes me wonder. Like, cool. I mean, generally,
it could be aliens.
Generally, if it was a technical malfunction, like, they kind of quick to own up in this day and age and say, look, you know, the store is down for maintenance. We're trying to have it corrected. But it's just the vagueness of it that makes me wonder what is, like, this... Someone's asked it to be taken down, is what I think it is. And the question is why?
Why? You know?
And who?
Maybe
and,
it,
and
it,
what?
And yeah. When? Oh, wait, we do know the when.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the what. Yeah. I just explained that. glad we sorted that out. Yeah. Here's a weird one. I suppose it's not weird for some, but it's kind of cool that Fox Sports for this weekend and next weekend are going to be broadcasting Australian Counter-Strike.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty. I feel like that's a big deal. I know esports are huge, but I still feel like a lot of Australian media has been quite slow to sort of jump on that.
Yeah. Because I remember watching... So, for instance, we have Twitch up in our house almost constantly.
Mm.
So, all of us are kind of watching like Dota and that kind of stuff. It is kind of strange to have a first-person shooter come to Fox Sports because it's not very... Like, usually it's League of Legends, that kind of stuff that you kind of focus on esports.
That are really
with.
Great spectator games.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to see. Like, I remember playing Counter-Strike growing up, and even just sort of the language that gets tossed around in some of those games is not exactly...
That'll be really interesting too, actually. Not just the game, but how they handle, like, the commentary
and
that aspect of, you know, whether they have people on hand to try and make it, I guess, accessible, or if they just go, look, this is, you know, there's only one kind of person
this is
who's watching this.
This is, yeah. I love my esports. Love watching them. And some of the commentators are just fantastic.
Mm.
It's set up for to become the next big spectator sport. But so it's great that Fox is... listening. But what they're gonna like show it at 4 a.m. or something, or
I can tell you this, I've got the schedule right here. Live esports Counter-Strike at that's pretty good time, like 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Oh,
that's
on Saturday night. That's
prime time.
Saturday night's not good.
What, on Saturday? Eight to ten?
Yeah,
that's
no,
like
Saturday's the bum night of the TV week.
That's, you know, it's just all Bachelors and Biggest Losers. That's no good at all.
I think that's good for sport, though. I mean, that's not highest rating for like in terms of other TV, but you, like weekends when all this main sporting stuff is.
Well, look, to be honest,
last weekend it was a huge weekend for sport.
Yeah, yeah.
As a gamer, I'm usually at home on a Saturday night. So
yeah, that's so good for us.
Yeah, know. It's our prime time.
Maybe they're picking the audience.
I mean, I would say as a gamer, I can watch whatever I want whenever I want because I live in the 21st century. I don't need scheduled television. What day? It is interesting, though. Like, I mean, I guess there is going to be this thing of, you know, broadcast mediums to want to try and play catch up with online. And it's sort of like, do you think it's going to catch on? Like, when you can watch this stuff on Twitch, would you even bother watching it on Foxtel?
It is strange because you kind of think of it as, like, is anyone going to have a Counter-Strike, like, Super Bowl party? I imagine that having it scheduled and making an event would kind of push you towards that. Like, for instance, whenever we play games and that kind of stuff at home, it's usually in a second window. Like, I'm playing something else at the same time, like Hearthstone and also League of Legends at the same time. The immediacy of that, like, kind of I can jump in and watch a game at any point, kind of makes it easy for me to access it. But if it is, like, you know, am I inviting all of my friends over and instead of watching, like, you know, the NRL or anything like that, are we watching a team of dudes take on another team of dudes to, like, you know, defuse the bomb or something?
And they're always 14. Yeah. They're always, like, little teenagers. Yeah. You know, you're watching these guys and you're like, wow, that character is awesome. I wish I could do that. Yeah. And then it, like, pans around to the guy on it and he's just this pimply face, like...
And you know he's like, so much better than you.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like a lot of sporting matches just perfectly fit around ad breaks.
Yes.
Whereas gaming matches don't quite have that same...
Ooh, I disagree. And I think that advertising can be slipped in so many different ways that I don't see that as an issue.
Sprays, for instance?
I think it's still going to be... It'd be an issue if Foxtel handle it badly. Mm. Like, if they're slipping... If they're not adjusting whatever method they have of having sponsors and ads and stuff in the coverage, if it feels more obtrusive than it would be when you're just watching it online.
Mm. I would love, though, if at some point, like, for instance, someone fires off a UAV and then you just hear the sting of, like, oh, tonight's UAV is sponsored by, like, that kind of thing. There's ways to slip it in that I think would be quite entertaining.
This death streak was brought to you by Telstra.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting, yeah. And look. Finally, last little bit of news. We talked a couple of weeks ago about this potential voice actors strike that the Voice Actors Guild were voting on.
Mm.
They have officially voted to authorize a strike. So it doesn't mean a voice actor strike is happening, but it means if they want, like, you know, everything's in place for them to do it. They could do it now. They could do it tomorrow. Whatever, man.
What are their issues?
Basically, they just want bonuses. Based on sales and stuff of games. There's a lot of stuff. Like, some of it is also sort of a clearer definition between motion capture actors and voice actors.
Oh, I see.
Especially in games, I mean, like, you know, something like Naughty Dog, you know, Last of Us. Like, that is just a full-on performance.
Yeah,
they do every animation. They do a lot more than just voice acting and stuff. So there's lots of different things like that. But I think it's interesting because... I mean, if you remember the writer's strike, there was a period when we had a lot of really average average writing for a while. So is that what we're in for the next couple of years of gaming? Is it just going to be 2 years of games where it's just all one guy and one girl just doing all the characters? Well,
hasn't it been kind of that way anyway?
Not if Nolan North. What happens if Nolan North and Troy Baker strike? That's if the gaming industry just collapses on itself.
Well, because it is an industry that you very specifically do not see. So I don't know whether or not, like, for writers and things like that, those people are controlling the structure of shows and this kind of thing. For people to go on strike as voice actors, all it would be is kind of, oh, someone not as good is voicing the games and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And for someone who, you know, maybe doesn't know that world as well or anything like that, I don't know if they're going to be able to put two and two together and be like, this is why I'm not enjoying this experience.
Unless just, like, every game becomes a text-based adventure game.
That's right. It's all point and click, you guys.
Something feels off about this game.
2016 Call of Duty. Use gun on enemy.
Meanwhile, Nintendo and Zelda are like, yes! Nailed it!
Yeah.
And Gabe Newell's like, get Half-Life 3 out now!
Yes!
There we go. Well, look, let's go to some music, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk gaming etiquette. This is Sir Francis Drake. And Mega Man 3 medley combined together. We'll be back after this.
Here we go!
Well, it's time to class things up a little now.
See ya.
It's time to talk about a new, what I hope to be a regular recurring segment on this show, gamer etiquette. When you find yourself in a situation where you perhaps... aren't equipped with the faculties you need to navigate a tricky social interaction, you know?
A lot of big words in there.
It was a lot of big words, but I made it through to the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, are you in a death match? Someone's teabagging you. How do you react? Has that ever happened before? Have you ever accidentally teabagged someone thinking they'd think it was funny and find out that you've horribly offended someone? Bear in mind, they're not all teabag related. They're just the two first examples I went to. I think online is a big place where a lot of these things happen. But look, here's the one I wanted to ask for your guys' opinion on gamer etiquette for, right? And then we can open it up, see anything else that comes out of it. Or we can just talk about this one, all right?
Sure.
Here's the situation, all right? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were playing an online game with some friends?
No.
You've been playing for a little while.
Oh, still going.
And you kind of want to stop playing to go and play a single player game.
Oh.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
All the time.
But you know that if you make up an excuse, they're just going to see you online playing a single player game.
Yeah.
So, do you play it directly and risk offending your friends who very much are enjoying your company?
Mm.
Or do you lie? Do you lie and then go to appear offline and then play said game?
Oh, see,
or something else. Like, what do you do? What do you do in that situation?
That's a good one. And that's a toughie. Like, it sort of depends on what you're playing, too. Like, if it's something that you know the other people who are playing are going to be very jealous of, a la maybe Battlefront beta, maybe be like, hey, guys, I've got better things to do.
Why does that come to mind?
that's what I'm doing to you guys tonight. Sorry, guys, I can't do this. I have some lasers to blast. I feel like maybe that might be a good excuse, is to kind of come at it from that angle. Like, guys, there is an experience that I need to have, and I'm sorry that you can't also join me. It is a multiplayer game. You should definitely check out the beta. But that's a good way. It depends on, like, are you going down? Are you trying to? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, see, I think actually that you've kind of touched on a different angle of that as well. Because another aspect of this challenge can be if there's a different multiplayer game you want to be playing, and they might, if they don't have it. Like, have you been in that situation where you're like, oh, this, you know, it's fun playing this year old multiplayer game with you guys, but this other one's just come out and, you know, I got to tell you guys, it's really great. I mean, you should definitely get it. I mean, you know, if you can't, well, maybe you should.
Yeah.
Or even someone, get the money, whatever. I'm just saying, this new game, really good. It's because I found myself in this situation where I just kind of really felt like playing The Witcher 3.
Oh, right.
I've had it for a while. I just kind of wanted to go back to it. So it wasn't anything new. It wasn't It wasn't exclusive or a new, like, oh, this new.
So you didn't have that
arrived.
Sort of excuse.
No, I couldn't just go, guys, and look. Because that's like a get-out-of-jail-free card. If I was like, hey, guys, I'd love to play Destiny, but I've got Fallout 4, like, 2 months early. Yeah. Everyone would go, hot damn, play it now and
that's
tell me
right.
all about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, come back to us in 2 weeks. Exactly.
But if it is just a single-player game,
yeah, well, that's
already out.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I myself am a great user of the go offline, particularly when I'm playing, like watching Netflix or something like that, where, because it still pops up in the feed of like, hey, you're browsing movies, you're this kind of stuff.
So you use that quite a bit, the appear
sometimes
offline?
Yeah. Well I'll only appear offline if I'm not particularly playing games, and even if it is, like, for instance, I got Tomb Raider through Games for Gold, like that kind of stuff, where I don't have to be online and it's like just constantly receiving messages and that kind of stuff. It's kind of good to sort of like hone in and play the single experience.
Transitioning,
that's tough. Maybe like, hey, the pizza guy just arrived, bye, and then that's it.
I agree with you that the peer offline is like totally fine for when you don't want to be distracted. But I think in your situation, Ben, like, honesty is the only way to do it. If you've got a good bunch of mates, you can say, look, guys, I'm really not feeling like a multiplayer game, or you know, you guys are all playing Call of Duty, I want to play Halo. And hopefully they'll understand. If not, get a new bunch of mates.
Is the etiquette,
all right,
though,
Tom? Get out.
Is the etiquette, like, say for instance, you do want to go and play a bunch of Gwent. Is the etiquette, hey, I am also going to be broadcasting on Twitch if you guys want to join in? Like, that kind of thing.
I think that's a step too far.
Hey, guys, like, subscribe. I'm going to be playing Witcher 3, but if you like what you've seen, click here.
Yeah, click here, join the Patreon.
I think a more difficult extension of this question is when you're playing a game and other people log on and start playing the same game.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's a good
one. And then
invite
you to the game, but you're kind of, you know, maybe you're just in that kind of mood where
that happens a lot, particularly in Destiny.
Hmm.
where someone just kind of drops into your fire team, and right. you know, it's sometimes it can be great. Like, I love that in a multiplayer game where you're just playing, and it's like, oh, my friend's here.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just here. They back me up on this mission. Mm. But you could have just been like, you know, sometimes yeah, you'll just
5 minutes before turning the game off, or
exactly, no. or you're kind of absentmindedly doing it, but you're meant to be doing something else. So you're sort of you're half playing, but you know, you kind of got a laptop open and you're not really focusing. So you don't have a headset on, and then that person joining your game suddenly means, oh, do I, you know, go get the headset, and then, you know, once, you know, also it feels worse in a lot of ways to go over, put your headset on, accept a party invite just to say, hey, I'm about to bugger off. Hey, I'm not really looking to, you know, it's sort of like, it's That's a lot true. Of effort to say bugger off.
Whereas, I really like the opposite of that, which is they join immediately and you disconnect. That's it. Get out.
Some people have done that to me though, and you kind of you go, oh, but like I'm not very passive aggressive with that stuff, and I know some gamers who are, which is fine because you read their signals.
Yeah.
Like you send them an invite or something, and they just don't respond, and you go, ah, well, they don't want to play. That's cool. Like I've never felt slighted when they do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if someone did that to me, I have that. If I don't want to join their party, I feel like I have to, and then have to give an excuse to say why I want to do something else. And you kind of you get sucked down that politeness, gamer politeness hole.
I loved that, being very polite, but also just destroying, just massacring aliens at the same time.
My problem is kind of the opposite. I'll like get sent invites online, but I'll be in the middle of the game and I'll just be focusing on that game so hard that I will completely forget about the invite. And then, you know, half an hour later, I get this angry message like, why haven't you replied to my blah, blah? And I was like, dude, I was kicking so much butt. Yeah. Like, you would be proud of me. You would be proud of me.
It's almost nice. I mean, like, it's hard games like, or on consoles like Xbox One, when you have that whole party system, because that could be more obtrusive than...
Yeah.
If someone just joins your game outright, you're sort of like, I feel like you have more of an excuse to be like, oh, I'm actually about to do something else. But it's sort of like the party invite is like this extra step to go, you know, then you join the party and then they say, hey, what do you want to play? And it's like, oh, look, you know, you sort of... It's like, it's the difference between someone texting you and saying, want to play a game, and someone like knocking, at, like already at your door. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I've got to go get up.
Yeah.
And then I have to have the social interaction before I like, you know... It's that extra thing.
Yeah, this is why we don't invite people over.
I know. We just sound like really sad people. But this is the funny like side effect I think of this online gaming world. You're always connected, especially like an always online console. And like you said before, Hato, people can see when you're on Netflix.
Yeah, watching Netflix.
And sometimes like you watching Netflix can just be you're sitting on the Netflix screen, but you've wandered off. You're making tea. You're doing anything.
Mm.
Like the number of times I've just kind of left Destiny on and it's sat there and I've been in the other room.
Mm.
I've come back and a friend of mine is just sitting floating in orbit with me. And it's like, just, hello up there.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
And I pick up the headset and I'm like, hello? And no one answers. And I'm like, I guess they're bugging off as well. Yeah. Right?
We're just... Well, I've had a similar experience. So we've been playing a lot of GTA Online. And it's like, it's just on, like, because it's an open world, you can kind of sit anywhere and do whatever.
Mm.
I'll play for a bit, we'll steal a helicopter, have some fun, and then I'll like get up to make a drink or something like that. And someone else will pick up the controller logged into my account and someone will join the game. Like, for instance, we had someone come over. They were just like sitting around just experimenting with the guns. So a lot of tossing grenades into the street, that kind of thing. And someone else joined the game, approached my character in the world, but had not sent a party invite. So this is just as to the person controlling the player is an entire, just a stranger.
Ooh.
And yeah. And
that's a good game. Right?
yeah.
Personally, I'm totally against that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was like I played with you and Kieran, your flatmate.
That's right.
The other
day. Yep.
And that was all right because what you guys did in that instance is you turned on the Kinect microphone. Yeah,
so both
so
of
you
us were
both
talking.
There.
Yeah.
Which is different. But like I had another friend who had someone staying with them.
Yeah.
And it was the other friend there chatting and they just didn't say who it was for ages. So I joined them and I was playing with them and it wasn't for like... about 15 minutes that they put on a headset and was like, oh, hey, this is someone else, actually. And I was like, whoa, okay. It felt really weird. It
yeah,
was like,
yeah.
It was like, because you're with an avatar, it's like if you had your friend had an identical twin, they just like switched out for
rocked
a day.
Rocked up to a party. Yeah,
yeah. That's right. Yeah, it was really.
I didn't
like it.
I have a couple of friends of mine who are if you come over and want to play on their console, log out of yours, like log into their Microsoft account. Yeah,
I've always been. I had a flatmate who would always play on my account.
Yeah,
and I just felt like, you know, to me, and he was a gamer too. I think he knows.
That's this bizarre sort of invasion of privacy thing. Like,
but it's like someone being on your Facebook profile account.
Yeah. I get, even though they're supposedly doing a good thing for me.
Deliberately.
I know you have. I know
just
you have.
Just to get you.
Because I've still got those like two Minecraft achievements. Sitting there ruining my completion score.
You can get to the end of Minecraft, right? It's just, yeah.
It's got an end.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. Let's go. I'm going to go to a message and I'm going to come back and we're going to review a little game I like to call Uncharted Collection. Hey? All right. And we're back.
It's always my stories that get cut off.
I know, Tom. I know. Maybe you should save your good stories for on air.
I do.
Let's talk Uncharted Collection, hey? And first of all, if you haven't heard of Uncharted, I'd say this collection's probably for you.
Probably.
Sure.
Because you should play Uncharted.
Yeah.
They are great games. They always have been. It's a great series. And there's a lot of reasons to invest in them, I think, as a series. I read an interesting statistic, actually, that was tweeted by our good friend... I'm going to say friend of the show, Nolan North.
Sure, he doesn't know it.
That apparently...
We're friends from afar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some might call it stalking, but...
I'm going to say friend of a show. He's friend of someone's show. Yeah. No, so I saw a tweet on his account. Apparently, I'm going to bring it up now just to make sure I get it right. But apparently, like 80% of PS4... Here it is. Yeah, 80% of PS4 owners have never played an Uncharted game.
What?
That seems really high.
It is really high. To me, it's like there's two things. It's like, does that just mean there's a lot of people who never played Uncharted?
Yeah.
Or is it there's a lot of new people on PS4, like a lot of new people to Sony?
Mm.
I mean, I would imagine that that's... That it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Well, didn't it come bundled at one point? Wasn't there an Uncharted bundle for PS4?
I don't know. I mean, there might be an Uncharted... It's definitely a system seller. I mean, it's why Uncharted 2 is why I bought a PS3 in the first place. Mm. Also, the craziest thing for me about this collection that I think is very impressive, because, of course, Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, all on the PS3, all on the one console.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that more than anything speaks volumes about just considering how much development there is between the series and how polished they are as games. It just shows you like how much work Naughty Dog put into them.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, like the other collections you can kind of get are like God of War, you know?
Yeah. And the Halo Master Chief Collection and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like they span a much larger period of time. And I mean, I don't know if... There are graphical jumps and changes in the Halo series.
Yeah.
But I don't think in terms of the gameplay itself, the changes are as stark, I would say.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I would agree that...
For instance, maybe not Halo 1 and 2.
Yeah.
There's
certainly been, like, Halo mechanics 3 was a big added jump. And that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, that's... I think as, you know... game developers kind of find their kind of niche and that kind of stuff, having video games and having a franchise like that, the power of that, trying to keep things the same but also change them to kind of keep them up to date and that kind of stuff can be really difficult. And the Uncharted series particularly, it has been kind of good at that. Like, for instance, the jumps between the Halo games. I know everyone who's got their favorite Halo game, but a few... Like, I don't know anyone who's got, like, their favorite Uncharted game. All of those kind of are... very high quality, and you can kind of play anything and get the gist, I guess.
Although it's interesting, like, in saying that, and I mean, this is a review of the Uncharted Collection, but it's a weird one for me. I don't want to just kind of go over the stuff that's already, like, I've reviewed so many collection games lately that I don't want to go over the mechanics that we already know. You know, for me, it's like, what value does this collection offer?
Sure.
And it's a weird one for me because I started with the first game, as you would.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to kind of, as great as it was to go back over that, and it is really improved over the, technically, over the original.
Yeah.
But it also just highlights how much things have aged. like, as I love the story and I love the acting, but a lot of that game is just like shooting, climbing and shooting.
Yeah.
Know? And it you realize how much it evolved in terms of the immersion of the action. Like, Uncharted 2, that train sequence and just the scale of stuff exploding and collapsing around you and like the richness of the world and stuff. And the difference in locations, like, it just felt like a huge globe-trotting sort of adventure game, whereas Uncharted 1 definitely feels a lot more stark.
Yeah.
And a lot more set pieces are just kind of like you in a corridor having to avoid getting shot and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think you start with the first of a series being, like, will this work? And then as soon as you hit on a winning formula, like, it grows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Halo 2, you're right.
And they really evolved that series as well based on the tone and spirit rather than... oh, this mechanic's cool.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They just kind of went, you know, like...
More jumping! Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't like, okay, well, what if we could jump twice as hard? Yeah. What if we had a double jump? They just sort of feel like, you know, this is the... like, everyone loved that Indiana Jones...
exactly
swashbuckling
right.
feel. So, like, what can we do to further deliver an experience like that matches that?
Yeah.
And I think it's a great way to, like, escalate games. And it's the problem that I have with a lot of these collections... which is, even though you love the first game, just when you know that the next ones are better,
yeah.
I spend the whole time just going, oh, I can't wait to get to the second one. And then the moment I get to the second one, I kind of go, oh, I can't wait to get to the third one. Like, I had that with, the Gears of War Ultimate Edition.
Yep.
It was great, but I still was sort of like, oh, I miss that you could do this from Gears 3. I miss, you know, four-player co-op. And so it's a bit like that in this. Two big omissions from this game. And I don't know why they've changed this, but you know how you could throw back grenades when they land next to you?
Oh, yes.
Took that mechanic out for some reason.
Oh.
It's just not there.
Really?
No.
Sure that wasn't something that they added in a later game?
They added it in 2 and 3.
Right.
But it's just not in 2 at this stage.
Oh.
Yeah. Weird. Super weird. Other thing, no multiplayer.
Ah, see, ooh. Now that was something I wanted to ask you about, because you and I loved Uncharted 3's multiplayer.
Yeah.
It was a real sort of uncut gem.
They've deliberately left it out because they said they just didn't want to have to deal with the messiness of, like, of how you split... because Uncharted 2 had very popular multiplayer as well, but they were kind of quite... it was quite different from the setup of 3.
Right. Yeah.
And I think they just looked at something like the Uncharted... Master Chief Collection and went, like... we don't want to do one sort of overall multiplayer for all the games.
Yeah.
And we don't want to have, like, a split gamer base across two different versions. So they kind of just went, look, we're just delivering, like, the narrative experience so you can play all the games and then be ready for 4, basically.
I love my multiplayer, but to be honest, I kind of support that position.
If you're not going to do it properly, then just don't do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's more that, like, if the player base is... still loving and enjoying those games, 2 and 3, then they can go play them.
Mm.
You know, it's not that old that it needs to be updated, and especially with another one on the horizon. Let's just play the single player and also play 4's
when you have a single player as just deep and awesome as Uncharted. I mean,
yeah.
I know I just said that one feels a little aged, but it is still great. Like,
yeah,
and the
quality stays. Yeah,
but like it's way better now. Like it's so much sharper. And the stuff that feels aged, I don't dislike it. It just makes me like really marvel at how much it evolved.
Yeah,
it really highlights those changes. You kind of go, you see like how cartoony Drake looks. It still looks, you know, it's still awesomely acted and smooth. Graphics and stuff, but you just in the style and just knowing, like, I mean, by Uncharted 3, the character animations were so deep that, like, walking past a flat surface, like, Nate would just kind of reach out and touch it and sort of, like, you like the motion capture animation and everything just, like, escalated so much. So, like, it's a great collection. It's a really... I've been having a great time playing them again, and it's sort of I'm starting to get the chills for 4 again.
As a long time Xbox player, you know, I did sort of dabble a little bit with Uncharted, and I loved it, and almost bought a PlayStation 3 for it. Is this collection worth buying a PlayStation 4 for?
I don't know if it's worth buying. I mean, there's already so many other games that I think it's worth buying the PS4 for. I think if you've never played an Uncharted game, though, this is like one of the best collections. I know a lot of people kind of go, oh, look, can I jump on this bandwagon? And I think more so than previous versions, like this one is totally doable. It's super simple layout. You know, from the start, you just pick which game you want to play, and it has full trophy integration of everything, and then it's almost entirely intact, minus the multiplayer, the way the games were originally laid out. And it just, they're just great narrative experiences. Like, you put those three games together, and you're looking at, like, 50 hours of pure narrative-driven, like, linear story, which is great. When there's so many games out there, like Witcher 3 or a Ubisoft game that kind of, that's open, but feels like you just have a checklist of things to do. It's really great to have a really focused, linear, narrative-driven game. So, yeah, I'd say go nuts. Get this. If you haven't played The Last of Us, get that as well. Naughty Dog.
Tick it off.
They're always good value. Let's go to some messages and then come back and then wrap up this bloody show. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Well, that's the end of another show. Tom Hayter, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
See you later.
I'm looking forward to doing more gamer etiquette chat. That was fun. That was fun. I think we stumbled upon a lot of... We could solve a lot of problems, guys.
We could. We could solve one problem at a time.
Or we could just sit here and vent.
That's true. I think should we redub that as a Gamer Mate segment? I think that's Gamer Mate, gaming is gamers etiquette. look, as always, you can follow us Facebook, Twitter, Big Head Mode, 2RRR, and the website, bigheadmode.com.au. Keep an eye on the social media because we've got some pack stuff coming up, which we're going to be announcing very soon. We can't confirm the guests that we're going to have on bonus stage, but I can say, based on the people we've been talking to, we're going to have some really cool guests.
Very
exciting. If you're at PAX and you like games, potentially big games, we're going to have some cool guests. So just keep an eye on that to find out more about that.
What could it be?
What could it be? Until then, why don't you stick around? This is Chapter Doof from the Mad Max Fury Road soundtrack. Great name. Stick around, because after this we've got DJ Early Curly's Accidentally Curly's Treat, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.